The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, hello, I am back for some more fun with you, and basically today's just a lot of news and trailers. I had a plan originally for today, but I'm kind of changing the plan because I think some of the information I want to share with you might kind of take enough time to make, you know, make this a reasonable size podcast. I've gotten a habit of making this a 2-hour show, and I'm trying to not do that. I'd rather have this just be about an hour show, maybe even a little less, and just share some fun information. And I've got a lot of fun stuff and some things kind of worth looking into that I thought I would dive into in the world of Lord of the Rings based upon some information that for a teaser trailer that has been released this past week. I thought I would dive into some of the information that would be regarding the original works by J.R.R. Tolkien about this particular teaser trailer, right? So that has kind of been my plan. And I figured, okay, if we look at these passages, it may take quite a bit of time. So other than that, I mean, I have found some things that are public domain audio that I thought would be a lot of fun because I intend for this show to have a lot of a retro fun stuff and be able to appreciate stuff from the past that's just fun. And some things that I find fun are old radio shows and old comedies and stuff like that. And I found some stuff that is in the public domain that over the next however long this show goes, I think we're going to share some of that and listen to that together. And I think we're going to enjoy it together. I know I enjoy it, and hopefully you will as well. And this will also kind of launch a little bit towards, as I sit here today, I'm expecting my next set of lapel microphones to arrive, and Philip and I will start to watch some movies and commentate on them, and a lot of movies that I haven't seen. If I haven't seen it, it'll most likely just end up on YouTube, although I'll probably make a podcast version of that as well. It'll be a different podcast. I think I'm decided I'm going to call it Watching Movies with My Pastor, because I think that's kind of funny. And people will probably latch onto the how that could be an awkward thing. But of course, this is Philip, who I've known since I was 7. So, I mean, it's not going to be that awkward for me. But it's just kind of a fun, awkward type title. And I thought that would be a fun thing. And what he wants to put on YouTube is my reaction to stuff I haven't seen before, because he thinks I'll have fun faces I make. But the audio, of course, will be just us watching the movie. And I'll probably talk less if I haven't seen a movie. But if I've seen a movie a bunch of times, we'll be talking. And of course, we'll try to gather information about that film as we watch it. Much like we did for Batman a few episodes ago, I'm going to taking that concept and running with it. And it will have a lapel mic, so it'll be a lot easier to mic up. Now, the lapel mics will not sound as good as the microphone I have right here, but it'll work. You know, we'll go from there. And so some of the movies that I've thought to be fun to watch are some old movies. Some old movies are great. And I'm talking, you know, not just 80s, which, you know, you're from my generation. You're, you know, like, oh, 80s movies are great. And we're going to definitely watch some of those. But I want to watch stuff like No Time for Sergeants, which is Andy Griffith and Don Knotts working together for the first time in a film. And this is what later became the Andy Griffith Show. And also, if you're a child of the 80s, you watched a lot of things in syndication as well, including old TV shows. And so I thought you would probably enjoy that as well. And so, I mean, a lot of stuff I want to watch. Some old classic Disney films back from when Disney was really good. You know, they're old classic stuff. You know, stuff that we have seen before, stuff I haven't seen before. Philip wants me to watch Old Yeller, you know, things like that. So That podcast is going to be fun, and I might get a lot more focus on that than what I put here. I don't know. I don't know how often we'll be able to watch movies, and you know, I want to keep that rolling, and hopefully I can keep that as a weekly thing, but that means we have to watch a movie every week, and that could be sometimes challenging. Who knows? We'll see. And we have to be able to talk about that movie as well as we're watching it. Other things that I might have mentioned for this episode, and this news just dropped today, wrestler known as Sid Vicious or Sid Justice, his real name Sid Uli, has passed away after battling cancer. He was age 60. So, I mean, that's living past 60. I've seen people comment, if you live past 60 as a professional wrestler, then you've accomplished something. That's a profession that takes its toll on the body. And a lot of the drugs that kind of go in there, not always were legal in past wrestlers. And so they've done a lot of damage to themselves just trying to entertain us. You know, so it's a big thing. I'm not really prepared to do a full tribute for him on this episode. I mainly remember him for a WrestleMania match with Hulk Hogan. And then, of course, for him completely messing up a promo one time, though, it ended up being just kind of funny because he actually kind of insulted himself and didn't realize it until later. But he seemed like he was just really actually pretty cool, decent guy, even though he could be a heck of a good bad guy, and he could be scary when he wanted to be. But in real life, apparently super cool, super nice and everything like that. So I will at least dedicate this time to the memory of Sid Uli or Uli. I forgot what it was. But, you know, Sid Vicious, as I knew him, Sid Justice over at WCW. So I do want to acknowledge that. But I really have just got a lot of fun things to get into. What have I been watching? I haven't really been watching anything in particular, but what I've been playing, I have to share this. Over the last couple of weeks, I can't remember if it was last week or week before, we mentioned that Hogwarts Legacy had some new content, downloadable stuff. Well, there was a lot of there's a photo mode, a lot of new outfit pieces. I was able to take advantage of that. You know, I haven't done anything with the photo mode yet, but there was also supposed to be a new side quest where you go and it's like a haunted shop. Well, as it turns out, this is a side quest that was already out on the PlayStation, so I've already played it. They've just now released it for other platforms. So, yay. I guess for the rest of you get to play this, but it is kind of neat because you do get to go and de-haunt a shop, and then it becomes your shop, and you get a little house elf to named Penny that will run your shop for you, and it's kind of fun. It's a good place to go and sell off your goods that you collect while you're adventuring around the area around Hogwarts. So I'm a little disappointed. It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't something that was new for me. But I have made a decision because I thought, boy, this would be fun to play through again. And I had meant to do it a few other times to play some of the other houses. So what I've thought to do is, let's say October, we do Scare Player in here usually on the Neverland official gaming channel. I thought, well, let's just be evil. That fits for a Scare Play thing. I'm going to make a new character and go all out Slytherin, make every evil choice, learn all the dark arts and everything like that, and make an evil character. As much as you can become an evil character in this. But I'm going to go full Slytherin Dark Wizard mode. Although I'll be taking down some Dark Wizards, because that's just kind of how the game goes. But that's okay. I can be a bit more vicious, and I'll learn the unforgivable curses and use them. As it is, to do some completion, I had to learn a couple of them. But I never used them in the game. And I did not learn Avada Kedavra, because I didn't want to. I wasn't going to use it. And I think there might even be achievement, though, if I do. So I'm going to go and play through that again here this October, along with mixing in probably a bit more time playing Phasmophobia and Demonologist, which are two games. I played a little bit of Phasmophobia last year, but I never got around to playing Demonologist. It's something you play online, and I found some fun people that I was playing with, just kind of random people. I didn't get like a consistent group of people I was playing with. Maybe this year I will. But that's kind of my plan. We'll do that. So I have a plan for Scare Play this year. So make sure you're subscribed to the Neverland Official Gaming Channel. I'll do either some live streaming or even just upload video. It'll be fun. We'll hopefully have some fun together doing that. So otherwise, let us get into all the fun kind of news that's going on or what happened this week. There was an event this week.
It's
spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so GamesCon, I think this is a... it happens multiple times in multiple places. I haven't really dove into what all goes with GamesCon, but it's an event that seems every couple of months we have a new one. And there was one in, I believe, Germany this past week. And I've got at least some of the things that was announced on the opening night. I'm over here on GameSpot looking at this. I mean, you might have, if you're interested in this sort of thing, you might have watched some video of this. But there was a 2-hour program for their opening night. And of course, there's a teaser trailer for Borderlands 4, release date for the Indiana Jones game, and a wonderfully weird Infinity Nikki got its moment in the spotlight. I have no idea what that is. But there's something called Enzoi. It's been a hot minute since Enzoi Crafton's take on The Sims has been in the spotlight. But GamesCon, ONL. Which I think it's like one night later. I don't know what that, I forgot what the ONL, but it's the opening night. Had a fresh trailer for the upcoming life simulation game. While Enzoi doesn't have a release date yet, anyone interested in the game can go check out some impressive character creator tool set on Steam from August 21st through the 26th. Well, today is the 26th. I'm recording it, so you're not going to be able to get a chance to go, but I'm looking at a photo here and it's impressively realistic looking. Now, I don't know. This being a life simulator, I don't know that it's going to have the goofiness of The Sims. The Sims is a little goofy, but it gets to where you're playing it life, and it can be fun for a while, but after a while you realize, man, I'm getting up, I'm going to work, and I'm playing a game, and I'm getting up and going to work and doing chores and stuff like, oh, that's I have to do that in real life. So The Sims is still fun, but it's fun to do the silly things. I think that's why everybody got in the habit of killing their Sims off or doing crazy stuff with them. We want to have fun with them. But if you play the game seriously, you realize I'm playing life. And I'm living life. And when I get my game time, I'm playing a game about living life, you know. But I've played plenty of the Sims, even though that's kind of what my thought is. Anyway, Sniper Elite Resistance, it'll be out in 2025. Borderlands 4, they showed a cinematic trailer showed the planet scarred by veins of iridium and a mysterious robotic hand reaching for the signature mask of a Pandoran bandit, and the game was going to be out in 2025. Call of Duty Black Ops 6 was announced, Goat Simulator Remastered. I've played a little bit of that one, and it's basically like a sandbox. You can kind of just do whatever you want. It's getting a nice fancy remaster coming for PC, a PS5, and the Xbox Series X or S coming later this year. The original Goat Simulator also had some like weird side games where there would be some stories and stuff, and I haven't really dove too much of that. I like to just go in there and mess around and wreck things as a goat. It's just fun. And they skipped right to Ghost Simulator 3 when they made a sequel. They didn't do it too, just because that's the kind of goofy humor that those games have. Persona 3 Reload, Episode Aegis. This is from publisher Atlus, and Persona 5's Joker will be appearing in some DLC. Just don't expect to be teaming up with the Phantom Thief, as it'll be popping up as an enemy. We have Dragon Ball Sparking Zero launching in, about a month and a half. Dying Light, The Beast, the Dark Pictures Anthology, Directive 8020. So that anthology, I thought it was going to be a trilogy at some point or something, but they just keep going with that. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, the creators of Life and Strange, had a new trailer. And it's coming out of different parts, and they're calling them tapes. So like tape 1 is February 18th, tape 2 is coming March 18th, that kind of thing. Infinity Nikki. Okay, so this is the thing that was mentioned. I'm looking at it. Very anime looking, and they actually say on GameSpot that they don't have any idea what's going on in this trailer. It's an open world dress up MMO, and the only thing we know is that our avatars will be fashionably adorable. And then Ark Raiders is coming back. This was announced back in 2021, and they're going to launch it in 2025. Path of Exile 2. I played a little bit of Path of Exile. It's very similar to Diablo, what Diablo has become from the third game. King of Meat, which I've been seeing some stuff and some ads on YouTube. It's a co-op game. We've got Fatal Fury, City of Wolves. Yes, Fatal Fury is back. It's an SNK classic fighting game. 17 characters expected to go. Now, some of their characters from Fatal Fury, I believe, are supposed to be popping up in Street Fighter. Which one are they on? Like 6 or something? I haven't played it yet. Mecha Break, Reanimal. Reanimal, looking at that, it's Opening Night Live. That's what ONL was. It looks very similar to Little Nightmares from the look of it. I'm not sure if it's exactly it's the same. Little Nightmares Studio revealing it's a co-op game. Dune Awakening. Do we have a release date yet? Nope, doesn't look like it, but a Dune game. That sounds a little bit like a good idea. Marvel Rivals, of course, set to launch December 6th. I think we probably knew that. Genshin Impact is coming to Xbox November 20th. We've got Naraka Blade Point. For whatever reason or whatever this is, I don't know, but we're getting a Tomb Raider crossover with Naraka Blade Point, which is coming out in just a couple of days. I have no idea what this thing is. We did get announced Sid Meier's Civilization 7, which I should play more of 6. I only played like one round of 6, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just completely wrecked it. I have a lot of fun playing Civilization Revolution. It's something you could just spend a couple hours and just have a little time, and you just need to, you know, just waste a little time, something before I go to sleep, you know. The Revolution is just fun. I play that on the PlayStation account and everything that I have, so I can just play it anytime. I would like to actually purchase a copy and play it on the PS3. Starfield, there's some sort of announcement, so I guess there's some updates coming, some DLC, some new vehicles. Monument Valley 3, here was something that was almost exciting. Batman Arkham Shadow. But it's a VR game, and I don't have that kind of gear. But it's, I mean, can you, you know, they've already done a first-person Batman game previously with the Arkham style. But I didn't get to play that one because I don't have the VR. And here's another one. And it looks cool, but I have no way to play it. I mean, that's an expensive extra that I don't have the money for. Monster Hunter Wilds. We have a Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2. And then Secret Level, which is the Deadpool director, is making a video game TV series. I will have trailers for some of this as we go along, and some trailers for some of these games as well. I do have audio. Towerborn, a side-scrolling action game, available in early access on PC September 10th. An Xbox version is still in development. Age of Mythology Retold. Masters of Albion. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, they had some, you might have known that was coming if you've played the original. I should probably play it sometime. Little Nightmares 3 is coming. Squid Games Unleashed. After the breakout success of Squid Games last year, it's only a matter of time before the Korean TV series got a video game adaption, it says. And, well, here it comes. Dark and Darker Mobile. And then, of course, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, narrated by Troy Baker, is coming to PC and Xbox Series X and S December 9th. It will land on the PS5 in spring of 2025. So, of course, I'll be waiting until spring. Mafia, The Old Country, The First Berserker, Kazan, Diablo 4, Vessel of Hatred, World of War, The War Within. I think they mean to say World of Warcraft, because this is coming from Blizzard Entertainment. That's another expansion here. Unknown 9 Awakening. This is everything that was announced, at least on opening night. And I do have, of course, some audio that I wanted to share with you. Here is, of course, the Indiana Jones. And I haven't watched a lot of these yet, but I'm going to just share it. This is what the Gamescom reveal date trailer was like for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
What if I told you there was a connection between ancient cultures around the world? A Great Circle. Does it exist? Is it the key to some lost power? That's up to you to uncover. I'm Troy Baker, and I play Indy. It's humbling playing a character that so many people, myself included, look up to. As a kid, seeing Indiana Jones in the theater for the first time was a defining moment for me. And I never would have guessed that all these years later, I would be the one wearing the hat. But here I am. It's been a dream come true. A dream that I cannot wait for you to live for yourselves. The beauty of a first-person game like this is that we all get to feel what it's like to become Indy. You are the one who cracks the whip, who feels the weight of every punch and the thrill of finding every clue. Indy is such a unique character. A professor, an archaeologist, a brawler, an explorer, the quintessential all-around adventure. And this game has everything you'd expect from an Indiana Jones adventure. Mysterious artifacts, cunning villains, ancient discoveries, hard-hitting action. It's a world of constant danger where you've got to think on your feet to stay alive. The Great Circle spans the entire globe, from snake-filled jungle temples to scorpion-riddled desert tombs. Stunning open areas to explore freely, full of secrets for you to discover. And you'll get more than just the classic whip and revolver. Indy's journal and his camera will immerse you in the mystery, providing extra info on all of your finds so you can appreciate all of the little historical details he obsesses over. And those details are your key to solving the ancient puzzles that hold the secrets you're after. But ancient secrets don't come easy. It's best to have an exit strategy. This is an incredible new way to experience Indiana Jones, and I can't wait for you to play it. Hold on to your hat.
So there it is. I don't think I really have to say any more about this. Troy Baker nicely told us everything. There is some pre-order bonuses for those of you who have an Xbox, and there is collector's edition with Steelbook. I'll have to look into that for when it comes for PlayStation. I'll definitely be looking into that. That looks like it's going to be cool. But what weight must it be to, I mean, as much as be like, oh, cool, I'm getting to play Indiana Jones, but also the weight of it, like, oh my gosh, I'm playing Indiana Jones, because they have footage of Troy Baker doing the motion capture and capturing even his face, and you want to get those facial expressions just right that Harrison Ford kind of has. So, I mean, it's really hard to recreate that performance, so I would love to see how that works out. Of course, most of the time you're going to be looking first person, but when there's a cutscene, that's when you're going to see Troy Baker. Final Fantasy 16 is coming to PC. I'm still working my way through it. I kind of got sidetracked, but I'm going to get back to it. Let me play this audio for you as well. As soon as it starts.
War is coming, my boy. You must make ready. 13 years ago, I watched a dominant kill my brother right in front of me. And I did nothing, but now I can.
I'm here to even the odds. Any objections?
Come, little lamb, to the slaughter with you.
So yes, it's coming to PC. Demo is available on Steam right now, and I think even through Epic Games. Also, we do get the DLC. There's two bits of DLC that are both going to be available on PC when it releases. I am planning to get the DLC at some point here soon. So right now I'm still playing through the main story of it, but it's definitely worth it. It was highly awarded. And it's if you love the Final Fantasy series, and if you like it, just an action game, it's completely different. It's very much an action game. I am ready to go with this thing though. I'm really having a good time with it. So those of you who want to play it on PC who've been waiting, there's your chance. Apparently they've added some stuff to Disney Dreamlight Valley, the Dapper Delights update. Let me go ahead and just share this with you as well. I haven't played this in a long time. Well, this doesn't seem to have much talking in it, but Tiana is joining with Tiana's palace, even. Let me just turn down the volume on this trailer just a bit here, and I'll read for you what it says here on the official PlayStation YouTube channel. It says, Tiana from Disney's The Princess and the Frog joins the Valley. Help Tiana set up a restaurant and a new stall, explore culinary traditions with Remy, and plan a New Orleans-style parade with your Disney and Pixar friends. Bring some Roaring 20s style and swing in with a Dapper Delight Star Path, which includes new flapper-inspired fashions and furniture and a dapper new look for Donald Duck and more. Like I said, I was playing this for a while. But it's been a little while. There's something like a rift in time. There's a lot of stuff I don't think I have done here, because it looks like Mickey can turn into Steamboat Willie here as looking at this trailer. Looks like we got a new storyline, which might be worth me coming back to it, because I finished the main storyline a while back, and that's when I stopped playing, because I was like, okay, well, I guess, you know, I've done what I've done. There's a free update. And then Treasure of Time's expansion pass Act 3. I'll have to look if I got everything set up for the expansion pass. I'm not sure if I did or not. I'll have to look into that, and maybe I'll give it a go, because I did enjoy playing it, but I get bored after a while playing games that are just like chores, like, oh, yep, plant the, or it's like a farm sim, plant these plants, now harvest them, get some money, and rinse, repeat. So it's mainly the storyline that I was all into doing, and so playing through the stories was fun, and that's, since I completed the story, I was like, well, I don't know what I want to do next, so, but it looks like there's some more story that I can do, so I think I might be coming back to play that some more. Okay, here we go. Something else for all of you Potterheads out there.
You were captivated by it in the books. Then, the movies made you dream of playing. Now, it's finally your chance to take flight and play Quidditch for yourself in the video game, Harry Potter Quidditch Champions. Play as iconic characters like Harry Potter, Draco Malfoy, Ron Weasley, and many more. You can even create your very own original character, dodge opponents, and score goals as a cunning chaser. Lead your team's defense as a keeper. As the intimidating beater, you control the pace of play. Or step into Harry Potter's role for yourself as your team's seeker. From the Weasley family burrow to the Quidditch World Cup, you'll compete inside venues you've seen in the movies, as well as places you've only read about in the books. Your path to become a Quidditch legend has officially begun. Harry Potter Quidditch Champions, available September 3rd.
Now, I've heard something about a day one thing for anyone who's a PlayStation member. It's going to be available digitally September 3rd. On day one, PlayStation Plus, but there will be a physical copy coming later. I might wait for a physical copy, just because, you know, saving some money for, you know, I've bought the microphones, but I need to, like, I need to get more money into my account that I use. We did in the past have a Quidditch World Cup game that I think I still have that one. I used to be able to play it on a computer. It was a little bit too easy, though. It was fun. I would imagine this is going to be a bit of a step up. This seems to have some similarities to the Hogwarts Legacy game as far as like style and look. A little bit more cartoony. I've heard there's going to be some online components, so maybe you could get a team online, play some other online teams, and play. I hope that they've managed to do some things to balance out, because, you know, Quidditch is not very balanced. Like, it doesn't matter almost what the chasers and all them do. Because really, you get 150 points for you catch the golden snitch. So I'm like, that kind of decides the game. It even says in the books and in the movies that you can decide the game. And that's what ends the game, is when they catch the golden snitch. So I appreciated, at least in the World Cup, that they had you play as a chaser and had you score a certain amount of points before it said, oh, now the snitch has been spotted. Then you had to race the other seeker to the snitch. And I would always try to make sure I'd scored enough points as a chaser that it didn't matter if I didn't catch the snitch, I was still going to win, you know, that I was up ahead enough. I would imagine that'd be a similar strategy that I'm going to aim for this time. Okay, well, we're about ready to head to the trailer park, but before we do that, I do want to remind you about Dubby Energy Drinks. A drink, it's a powder, it's vitamins, it's good stuff, and it's not going to give you the jitters there, gamers. Dubby. If you go to neverlandpodcast.com, you click on one of the Dubby logos, it'll take you straight in there. Otherwise, use at dubby.gg, use the discount code Neverland to get a 10% off of your order. And it will, of course, help out the show. I haven't gotten to try any of these flavors, but y'all tell me what you think of them. There's lots of different flavors to try. They even have some little, you know, bottles for you to go and get your water and mix up your drinks. So you have a nice portable bottle, you can take it wherever you need to go, whether you're gaming or headed to the gym. You need some extra energy and vitamins? Yeah, go for it.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
All right, now it's time to head to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got you in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here. Oh.
Get him, Mama. Oh. Get that gator. Ah.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
This is Percy Jackson, the Olympians, season two official teaser, but it was really just showing that it is in production. I think they were testing to see how well the first season went before they went for it.
My name is Percy Jackson. I am a demigod. Monsters come at me. So did the gods. Last year, I had to stop a war. But that is just the beginning.
Okay, so this next season will be based, of course, on Sea of Monsters, which I do recall. I did read at least the first two books, and I did see at least the first movie. I watched the first season. It was all right. I liked it. I wasn't like super excited about it, but I did watch it. I think they did make some kind of changes. I believe I've commented on it in earlier episodes this past year, that it'll be more fresh in my memory of what all I said about it. But yeah, season two, for those of you who are excited, I'll probably still check out season two just to take a look. Here's something I haven't watched yet. Some anime here. This might all be in Japanese, but it's called Grave of the Fireflies. It's coming to Netflix. So far, no dialogue. I'm waiting for somebody to speak. I don't think there's going to be any speaking in this. I think they're just trying to show you the art style. Let me just read for you the description that's on Netflix anime. Orphans Seita and Setsuko, and the voice actors mentioned here are Japanese, so I think it's going to be in its original language. They fight for survival in post-World War II Japan, but society is harsh, and they come to the sober conclusion that they can neither escape the hardships of war nor find enough food to survive. Named the best animated feature at the 1994 Chicago International Children's Film Festival, this film proves that not all anime tales are pixie dust fantasies or brutal sci-fi standoffs. This is coming to Netflix September 16th. I thought it seemed like it was a little older in the style of anime. So, yeah, this is from 1994. It does look very, very cool for its style there. It does look nice. So those of you who are into anime, my wife is probably going to want to watch this, I'm sure. Okay, so next thing, The Wild Robot Official Trailer 3.
Congratulations on your purchase of a Universal Dynamics robot.
The Wild Robot is the best animated movie of the year.
Activating learning mode. Do you need assistance? Rosums are programmed for instant physical mimicry.
The monster!
Are you in charge here? Aggression detected.
You can call me Roz.
Mama.
You're his mother now. He needs to swim and fly.
Fly!
get my Gosling to swim?
Swimming's easy. I can teach him the way my mom taught me.
Swim!
The processing that used to happen here...
Processing. Beep, beep, boop, boop.
...is now coming more from here.
Just might kiss the sky.
Ready?
I guess I have to be.
Sometimes to survive, we must become more than we were programmed to be.
Coming October 18th from DreamWorks, The Wild Robot. I've kind of gone back and forth on this because at first I thought it was going to be, you know, there wasn't going to be talking. It'd be a robot in the wild with the animals. And I thought, well, this could be wild and neat. Then that second trailer, it's like, oh, this looks more like just kind of goofiness. And then now this one shows this has got a lot of heart in it. And now I'm in again. I'm definitely going to have to check this thing out. So, yeah, The Wild Robot. They've got my interest again. I want to see this. Some of the jokes might be a little corny, but you know what? That's fine. It looks like it's got a lot of heart and soul to this. So they got my attention again. So, yeah, we'll definitely be checking that one out later. All right, let's see what we got next here on the list. Secret Level. Remember mentioning this at Gamescom? This is coming to Amazon Prime. It's an adult animated anthology series. So I don't know that we'll be giving it much more coverage on the show because I don't know when they say adult, you know, it. Well, I try to keep everything very much at the PG to PG-13 level, and we don't cover R-rated stuff. So this might be the last we hear of it here, but I've got the teaser ready to go.
It's time. This world has waited for your arrival. It is you. You will open the door. Because you are the chosen. All those moments. It's a new adventure. Just for you.
Have a game to play.
Okay, December 10th, and let me just pause that. It's trying to do an ad. Let me just read what they have here on the Prime Video's channel. Secret Level is a new adult animated anthology series featuring the original stories set within the worlds of some of the most beloved video games. From the creative minds behind Love, Death, and Robots, each of the 15 episodes is a celebration of games and gamers. Games that inspired the 15 epic stories include Armored Core, Concord, Crossfire, Dungeons & Dragons, Exodus, Honor of Kings, Mega Man, New World, Eternum, those of you who are fans of that game, Pac-Man, various PlayStation Studios games, Sifu, Spelunky, The Outer Worlds, Unreal Tournament, and Warhammer 40,000. Secret Level arrives, on Prime Video December 10th. There's not a whole lot of games in there that I've played or even heard of. So we'll just kind of see. Of 15 episodes, they're bound to have some stuff. I don't know what the PlayStation Studio games, other than it looks like we have some God of War thrown in there. I'd be interested to see what they do with Pac-Man and Mega Man. And Dungeons & Dragons might be fun. And then, you know, check out what they do for some PlayStation Studios games. But a lot of these other games I've never played or maybe even never heard of, like New World Eternium. Never heard of it. Or Exodus, Honor of Kings, Concord, Crossfire. Never heard of these games. But they say that they're beloved, so somebody must love them out there. Or at least they decided they're beloved, and they didn't ask gamers, hey, did you ever play this? I don't know. Maybe they're a bunch of PC games. Here's something that I just found out about today. I had to skip the first 15 seconds of it because it plays the old classic Superman theme of John Williams. And I would probably just get kicked out of YouTube when the podcast goes over into Google Podcasts. So this is Super Slash Man, the Christopher Reeve story. It's a documentary.
Hands down, he was Superman from day one.
I realized that if I could pull off this part, it would change my life.
John Houseman said, Mr. Reeve, it is very important you become a serious classical actor. Unless, of course, they offer you a load of money to do something else.
He convinced me when I first met him that he would fly.
Doing things with my dad, it was all about activity and action. Riding bikes, playing soccer, skiing.
My dad was very competitive, and he didn't necessarily slow down.
We said goodbye, and he gave this wave.
That was the last time I saw him on his feet.
Mr. Reeve currently has no movement or spontaneous respiration.
Superman? Crazy. Just that simple little thing over the horse.
I'd ruined my life and everybody else's. I won't be able to ski, sail, throw a ball to Will. Won't be able to make love to Dana. Maybe we should let me go.
She came flying in, and she just yelled, I love you. I love you.
And then she said, the words saved my life. You're still you, and I love you.
He and Robin were such good friends because they could match each other. Robin also had struggles that he dealt with his whole life, and I think that they both were aware of darkness.
Brother Chris is fighting like crazy. When you find people who fight like that but still keep their humanity, that gives you great hope.
That is tough because I can feel him, but he can't feel me.
It must have been hell for my mom, too, knowing what she had lost.
I felt I needed to do something, not just for myself, but for everyone else in the same condition.
The fact that Superman was in a wheelchair and was willing to go public with it was huge.
Help is on the way.
The Christopher and Dana Reeve Paralysis Act.
People are literally walking because of him.
What is a hero? My answer was that a hero is someone who commits a courageous action without considering the consequences. Now my definition is completely different. I think a hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. I wouldn't have missed this for the world.
So this from DC Studios. They're saying only in theaters, get tickets now. It's supposed to be in theaters September 21st and September 25th, which makes me think, is it only going to be like two different days? And then after that, I guess the money's going into the Christopher and Dana Reeve fund, which they did look into a lot of research to try to fix paralysis. I mean, really, nerve damage. Once nerves are damaged, they don't get healed. But there's a lot of things that got looked at to try to regrow it. And they did a lot of research, and I'm sure it's all going to be in the film for those of you who want to go. I feel like I'd be really depressed watching it. So I don't know that I'm all that super interested, but I'm also kind of interested. I mean, he was my Superman when I was a kid, even if all the movies that he did, you know, two of them are worth watching. Third one, maybe. Fourth one, don't bother. but still, that was the Superman. That's how I grew up. All right. So here is where we're going to turn a corner, and we're going to look at an animated film from the producers that brought you the classic Lord of the Rings films back in, 2001, 2 and 3, I believe is when we had those. This is War of the Rohirrim.
Hello.
Middle-earth knows the tale of the War of the Ring. But 200 years before that...
Riders of the Mark! Brothers of Rohan!
There was an older tale.
Arise!
We come with an offer to strengthen Rohan.
Hera, daughter of Helm, I, Wolf, seek your hand in marriage.
Our fathers speak as if I were not even in the room.
I do not want to marry you.
You do not seek an alliance. You seek a throne. You will live to regret this, old man. He's dead. You will pay for this with your life.
The boy I knew would never wish for war.
The boy you knew is gone.
Fire!
There's so many of them. I pledged to fight for my king.
You know nothing of war.
I'm the fastest rider you have.
People need hope, Hera. Something to believe in.
My pride. My joy. You could rule the world.
You think I am afraid of you?
You should be.
What does Mordor want with rings?
So this is coming this Christmas, directed by an animation director apparently very well known. He's legendary, it says. Kenji Kamiyama. This is coming to theaters this Christmas. So let me read some of the description. It's based on the revered books by J.R.R. Tolkien, it says. Under the direction of award-winning filmmaker Kenji Kamiyama, he did the Blade Runner Black Lotus, Ghost in the Shell standalone complex TV series. Talented voice cast led by Brian Cox from Succession as Helm Hammerhand, the mighty king of Rohan, Gaia Wise, A Walk in the Woods, as his daughter Hera, and Luke Pascalanos from Snowpiercer as Wolf. Miranda Otto will deliver an unforgettable award-winning performance in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, reprises her role as Eowyn, shield maiden of Rohan, who serves as the tale's narrator. The voice ensemble, which includes Lorraine Ashburn, Yasdin Quafuri, Benjamin Wainwright, Lawrence Ubong Williams, Sean Dooley, Michael Wildman, Jude Akuwudike, Balil Hasna, and Janine Davutsky. Now let's read some description here. Set 103 years before the events chronicled in the original trilogy of films, The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim, tells the fate of the House of Helm Hammerhand, the legendary king of Rohan. A sudden attack by Wolf, a clever and ruthless Dunlending lord seeking vengeance for the death of his father, forces Helm and his people to make a daring last stand in the ancient stronghold of the Hornburg, Helm's Deep, a mighty fortress which will later become known as Helm's Deep. I just said that. Finding herself in an increasingly desperate situation, Hera, the daughter of Helm, must summon the will to lead the resistance against a deadly enemy intent on their total destruction. The last part's where they're going to get in trouble. Currently, this hits 97,000 likes, but also 15,000 dislikes. And it's mainly people who are familiar with the subject matters. Helm Hammerhand has a daughter, is not even named. When you read the appendices of Lord of the Rings, now this might be also told in the Silmarillion, I haven't got a chance to go in there, but she's not a named character at all. They've given her a name and turned her into girl boss from the look of this and made the film about her, which is a mistake, right? Have they not learned the Rings of Power series that is just kind of inventing stuff? And there's people who are, you know, big onto what Tolkien, you know, being as pure as you can be to Tolkien's work and not reinventing the wheel and changing the characters. So that's where you've got all those dislikes. The likes are probably coming from people who are not familiar. Maybe they never read the books. They're just like, oh, look, cool, an anime of Lord of the Rings and whatever. But even some of the comics, the Daughter of Helm doesn't even have a name in the Chronicles. Here they portray her as a hero to the detriment of her father. I would really like to see a work that pays homage to Helm Hammerhand. That's really what a lot of people expected. A Helm Hammerhand movie, you know, because he is the hero of the story. So what I have done, I wanted to do some research. I was going to be fair as possible. Let me grab some stuff I found online. I've also got the books over here next to me to read some sections. There, you could justify this that there were changes made in the films originally. We have Arwen being put in place there of a. I don't believe the elf was named who actually took Frodo to Rivendell. They put Arwen in there and they gave more story to Arwen. That works because it makes the romance between her and Aragorn work. We needed Arwen to be more of a character. That was okay. The one thing that they did change, a lot of people are blaming Philippa Boyan. I can't remember. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. But they're blaming her as a producer for making some of these changes to try to have more women involved. Now, there were some definite changes made into that scene. And I'm going to let me go and whoop. There's me knocking over my medication. Alrighty, let me go straight into Fellowship of the Ring and read you something. Okay, so if you remember in the film, Arwen gets to the other side of the river into Rivendell, says some things in Elvish. The river suddenly unleashes on the Nazgul, right? With horse heads and everything, and flushes them away. Let's read the book. Who made the flood? Asked Frodo. Elrond commanded it, answered Gandalf. The river of this valley is under his power, and it will rise in anger when he has great need to bar the ford. As soon as the captain of the Ringwraiths rode into the water, the flood was released. If I may say so, I added a few touches of my own. You may not have noticed, but some of the waves took the form of great white horses with shining white riders, and there were many rolling and grinding boulders. For a moment, I was afraid that we had let loose too fierce a wrath, and the flood would get out of hand and wash you all away. There is a great vigor in the waters that come down from the snows of the Misty Mountains. Okay, so Arwen didn't do a thing. Now, I've taken it into the film that Arwen was doing something where she's calling out to let her father know, I'll release the river. Now, I'm safe on the other side and they're in it. So I've taken it to that. But of course, as presented, it's as if she has some sort of magic, which the elves don't really have a magic. Only the wizards do. The wizards are more of a divine being, and the real magic comes from them. But they can set things up to, okay, we can hold back the river, and now we can release it. You know, there's practical things they can do. But there's not generally a lot of magic around the elves. There's a little bit of semblance of magic, but not really. But that was changed for the film, it seems. It seems like we're trying to make it show that Arwen had done it, like Arwen had taken out the Nazgul. No, she didn't. Not in the books. And it wasn't even Arwen. But even in the film, I don't take it as her doing it. I take it as calling her out to her father saying, all right, release it, release the river. And Gandalf, of course, is on hand just to add a little spice, you know. So we see that already we've had some changes trying to give the women a bit more character. Now, another big thing that has been made is the Eowyn and no man can kill the Witch King, head of the Nazgul, of the nine of the Black Riders, right? There's this old prophecy. Well, now here's the thing. Was it because she's a woman that Eowyn was able to kill him? Or was there something else? So let's look into the books. And I want to dive in here. Like Tom Bombadil gave a hint. This is marked as book one, chapter eight, Fog on the Barrow Downs. Old knives are long enough as swords for hobbit people, he said. Sharp blades are good to have if sharp folk go walking east, south, and far away into dark and danger. Then he told them that these blades were forged many long years ago by men of Westerness. They were foes of the Dark Lord, but they were overcome by the evil king of Khair Dûn in the land of Angmar. So why do I talk about these swords and the Barrow Wights and these blades? Something that was left out of the films, but it's in the book, is the hobbits, before they meet up with Aragorn, end up in this Barrow White area, and they find these swords. Each one of them finds a sword. These were swords specifically made to be able to fight things like Nazgul. They can actually do damage. And up on Weathertop, when the hobbits are surrounded by the Nine, Frodo takes a swing at one of them and actually cuts a piece of cloth off, which is normally impossible. Before Aragorn shows up at the fire and fire sends to work to kind of burn cloth and stuff. So the swords have power to do damage to them, right? So now keep this in mind. And I had some other quotes. I'm trying to find all the different quotes I found on like a chat area where people are sharing. Someone kind of sums up I think I've got it marked in here. I'm going to read it from you. But it's some stuff that I think in the films you can kind of see. It happens really fast of how it actually happens. But we do have Frodo having his sword get broken that he had. And so he gets Sting later. And people have asked about, well, what about these Barrow White swords? If the Barrow White swords are important for this, the fight against the Nazgul, then they get taken away when Merry and Pippin were kidnapped. That's the thing. They got left behind. The blades are found by Aragorn. I marked it here. No, I didn't, but I did see where somebody had shared. Well, this is about Helm. So this chat area seems almost like it's moved around since last time that I was here. Let's see. But yeah, it does mention though Aragorn finding the swords and all their weapons left behind. They weren't spoiled, but they didn't want to carry these swords. The Uruk-hai did not want to carry these swords to Saruman because they were dangerous to them, right? So they didn't want to bring them around because these were specifically made to harm like stuff like the Nazgul. They're like the Master Sword in Legends of Zelda. They're very specific. Now, let me read. Here's a section on Return of the King. Now, I don't know if this is what I've got marked, but I did find where somebody has brought this up. Oh, no, I've got the appendices marked here that tells the story of the Ring of Rohirrim. But here's a Return of the King. Somebody's copied this over. As he towered over her, preparing to deliver the final blow, Merry snuck up behind him and plunges his sword into the back of the Witch King's knee. The sword, made in Westeros centuries ago, broke the magic of Sauron that kept the Witch King anchored to this world. While the Witch King was distracted, Eowyn drove her sword where the head of the Wraith would have been, slaying him. So she was actually defeated. She had a broken arm. Her sword was broken. Witch King's about to finish Eowyn off. And then Merry pops him in the back of the leg with the Barrow-White sword, right? This makes him suddenly vulnerable. So it wasn't that she was a woman. It's just Merry helping her. Together, they kill the Witch King. Now, neither one of them would be considered a normal man, of course, because she's a woman and he's a hobbit. He's a male hobbit, but he's not a man. He's a hobbit. So it still kind of fits in that. But it seems to me that we want to take and make Eowyn like she was going to be some sort of girl boss and some female warrior. But something else that left out, and I don't have it pulled up, but I shared it on our Facebook group where in the Houses of Healing, Eowyn meets Faramir. And she basically says, like, well, I've loved reading stories of valor when I was a little girl and all these different stories, but I don't love this anymore. I like the idea of healing. And she became more of a healer and she fell in love with Faramir. And that's a cute story. It's really worth reading the books, you know, to get these extra side stories that were kind of left out. The expanded edition, you kind of see them together a little bit. But Eowyn didn't go around become some sort of girl boss or female warrior. She became a healer. And I think what this is showing, I mean, when you look at C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, they saw war, World War I. They know how nasty it is. Now, some people try to say that Tolkien just didn't have respect for women. And I don't think that's the case. It seems to be the case. He had enough respect for him that he wouldn't want a woman to have to go into war. C.S. Lewis, he actually did write in the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. He tells the Father Christmas. I was about to say Santa Claus. Father Christmas tells Susan and Lucy, I don't intend you to fight in the battle because battles are ugly when women fight. There was enough respect that women should not have to go through a war and battle and run around in the mud and the blood and the smell and the human waste and bodies. It's horrible. It's nasty. People have gone into battle like and they come out, you know, traumatic stress disorder, you know. It is a horrible and ugly thing, and we respect women. Women should not have to go through this. It's terrible that men have to do it. We don't want women to have to go through this. That is what the perspective that comes from Tolkien and Lewis. So when they make this film and they say, well, we're going to girl boss this, suddenly, well, you're not even keeping the spirit of what Tolkien's beliefs were. So I'm pretty sure this is not getting an endorsement from the Tolkien estate. Now, I have options either between I did find an entire thing that tells kind of sums up the story of Helm. And I think I might do that because we're coming in close to an hour. I do have the appendices of the book. I could read you straight from the book the actual story of the War of the Rohirrim. But let me read from you this website that has this is the TolkienGateway.net. It has a whole thing about Helm Hammerhand. Helm became king after the death of his father Grom in TA 2741 during a time of an increased threat from the Dunlendings. Now, the Dunlendings, I believe, are the ones that became like the Westerlings that came up. You see them riding the elephants, or Alifons, as they're actually called in here. You know, they're the ones that they end up siding with Sauron. His grandfather, Deor, had already fought against the Dunlendings, who had seized the fortress of Isengard, established settlements in the valleys of the mountains to its east and west, and raided the herds of the Rohirrim in the Westfold. Since Deor did not have enough force to storm or besiege Isengard, the Rohirrim were forced to maintain a strong troop of riders in the north of the Westfold to counter the threat of further raids from the Dunlendings. In 2754, Freca, a rich and powerful man with wide lands both side of the river Adorn, who claimed to be descended from the king Frewine, I don't know if I'm saying this right, yet he was said to have much Dunlending blood, was called to a council by Helm. Freca rode to Edoras with a great force of men, and asked Helm for the hand of his daughter for his son Wolf. When Helm insulted Freca to have grown fat, Freca in turn insulted Helm to be old, and that he could fall on his knees if he refused the staff that Freca had offered with the proposed marriage. After the council, Helm took Freca outside, sent everybody away, and hit him with his fist so hard that Freca fell down stunned and died soon after that. It is possible that he received his byname Hammerhand after hitting Freca with his fist, but the date and reason for receiving his by name are not recorded. The men of Freca left Edoras, but in 2758, they returned with a great force of Dunlendings, reinforced by enemies of Gondor who had landed in the south. Under the leadership of Wulf, they overran Rohan. Helm fought them at the crossing of Isen, but lost and withdrew into the Southburg, and there endured a long siege. Helm held the fortress during the long winter. He blew his great war horn and broke through the Dunlending ranks clad in white, stalking men with a snow troll, slaying them with his bare hands. However, his son Haleth and Hama were slain, and Helm grew gaunt because of grief and famine. Still, his horn would fill the Dunlendings with fear each time it was heard. During one of his night sorties, Helm died, possibly from famine and cold. His body was discovered frozen in the snow till standing. Still standing, I say. There was a belief that after his death, his horn was sometimes still heard in the deep, and that his wraith haunted the enemies of Rohan and killed men with fear. He was succeeded by his nephew Freyleif Hilderson, and the son of his sister, who was the son of his sister Hild, I guess. Okay. Freyleif defeated the Dunlendings and retook Isengard, and also took back Edoras and everything, because Wolf had established himself as king. There's a little bit more in the appendices of how it seemed like the ghost of Helm was still haunting Helm's Deep, and like the horn would still be blown, and so it adds a lot more weight to when the story of Helm's Deep, and they blow the horn to try to frighten the orcs. It's kind of a big deal. But you didn't get a name there for the daughter, did you? There's only a mention that they said, well, why don't we have an alliance? Won't Wolf marry your daughter there? Who knows what might have become of the potential alliance? Who knows? I don't know what the intention is. They might add a few things into this movie just to try to flesh this out of why, you know, she would refuse him, though it doesn't seem like she was given the option, but maybe people didn't think that would go over, and we've got, oh, look, Brave all over again. So, there we go. They've made some serious, serious changes, which may be some serious mistakes on how they've decided to tell this story. And they've talked me right out of going to see this. And I would have been like, oh, cool, an anime, Lord of the Rings. But I'm out. I know a bunch of other people are out. So this is, I don't think it's going to be nearly as successful as their previous films. But, you know, we'll see in time. But they've made changes. I'm not going to get into why changes like this get made, why we feel like we have to have these girl bosses that nobody asked for, that are just like, oh, I'm the best writer you have. I'm the best one. It's like, well, frequently when we get that, we don't get a female that it makes sense for them to be that good. Right. I don't know. So, but we feel like it's presented in a way that doesn't keep with the spirit of the authors at this point. So it's like, yeah, this is not the way the story's supposed to go, but we're kind of tired of the girl boss characters that are not really even likable characters usually. So it's probably just not going to be good. But let's go ahead and wrap this up. I want to remind, you know what? I didn't even stop for, there'll be ads in there. I didn't make a stop, you heard ads in there. If you don't want to have those ads that you heard in the middle of the show, that's where your opportunity to go through Patreon at patreon.com/Neverland Podcast or through Red Circle. You'll find all this right there in the show notes. Red Circle has an exclusive area where I have a feed in there. We won't have the ads other than me reading them. And also Patreon, you won't get any ads for the when I put a copy of the show over there. So if you don't want the ads, there's ways around it, and you end up helping out the show and you don't have to listen to the ads. It's great. The only ads you will get, when I say stuff like Podgagement, go to NeverlandPodcast.com. You'll find all about Podgagement. It is a fantastic service. If you happen to have a podcast and you want to get your reviews from around the world, Podgagement is your way to do it. There's so many new features coming on with Podgagement. It's run by Daniel J. Lewis, award-winning podcaster. The guy is clever as they come. He's making a lot of neat new features. It's definitely worth it to go, and it's, you know, just a yearly fee that you can set up. Not very much. It's a great service. I definitely recommend that as well. And you can find those links at NeverlandPodcast.com. Okay. We want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show. They helped me out to make that intro. Don't forget to email us at podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. We are on X or Twitter, Neverland PCast. Also on Facebook, we have a group. We have a regular Facebook page, and I comment every week that I need to update this thing. I'm going to take a quick look while I've got you here on air, and I will just keep a yapping. I think I have changed this to where it does say Groups Neverland Podcast. So yes, if you search for the Neverland Podcast, you should be able to find the group or the fan page. I recommend the group because I'm able to interact a lot more there than I can with the fan page. So definitely come and check it out. But okay, we'll wrap the show up right there. So as we say at the end of every episode, get lost in an adventure. And I'll see you next time.